Appreciate that song, sister. That was great. It really spoke to my heart. What if we gave all? What about you? That's what it's all about. Giving our all to the Lord. That's what He wants. He wants faithfulness. He wants our heart. He doesn't want out of our abundance. He wants our heart. Amen. I want to thank the church for allowing us to be here. Thank you again for the accommodations. Just for the wonderful banquet last night. It was just great to fellowship and just to experience all the food and all the labor that y'all put into that. It was such a blessing. I just want to thank you for that. And I trust you've been in prayer over what the Lord would have you to do for your Faith Promise Missions commitment. I know it shouldn't just be the week of Faith Promise Missions that you get serious about it. It should be an ongoing thing that you pray about and ask the Lord, what would you have me do in this area of Faith Promise? Well, missions is the heartbeat of the church, and you guys have over 70 missionaries that you support. What a blessing to see that that you're just giving and doing your part to get the gospel out there, and that's what it's all about. That's what we need to do. But, you know, God blesses not only us as we give, but He wants to bless through us as we give faithfully to the cause of missions in Christ. So this morning, I want to encourage you to be faithful to what the Lord is calling you to do. And the message that I have for you this morning is, be faithful to your promise. Be faithful to your promise. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank You for this opportunity to be here. Thank You, Lord, for this church and Lord, for their stand on the Bible, for their stand on missions and their desire to just want to serve You and get Your word out there as best as they can, Lord. Lord, we need You. We need Your direction. We need Your working in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that You would stir the hearts of the folks here this morning. Lord, that You get all the glory and honor and praise for what's done in and through this church. Lord, this coming year and beyond in the area of missions. Lord, we love You. And we ask for Your blessings now this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, some folks may shy away from supporting Faith Promise missions or from supporting missions in general because they may not have or think they may not have enough to give to missions. Well, if I had $1,000 in my pocket and someone asked me for $10, it'd be kind of easy for me to give, right? Because I have abundance there. Unless, of course, I'm cheap and I don't want to give, which, of course, I am cheap. But, you know, when we have abundance, it's a little bit easier to give when we have a lot there. But it's when we don't have. That's where the faith part comes in. Faith is not only the central part of the Christian life, but it's the central part of Faith Promise missions. We need to give by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So when it comes to missions and our overall walk with Christ, we need to be a people with a purpose. People with a purpose to walk by faith, to live by faith. We need to be committed. We need to be determined, not only to know and do God's will, but also to be faithful to what we promise to do. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. We'll be in a few places here this morning. 1 Samuel will be where we start. And chapter 1. And verse 10, many of you know this story of Hannah and how she wanted to give a son there to serve in the temple, but the Lord had shut her womb. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, we read that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul here does not mean that she was bitter or angry at God. She had a heaviness there. It was a heaviness, a discontent, because she wanted to be a blessing, but she didn't have anything to give. Folks, when it comes to missions, when it comes to lost souls, we need to be troubled in our spirit. We need to have that heaviness in our heart as well towards seeing people come to Christ, towards supporting missionaries on the field. And just having our hearts stirred to want to support that. And we need to be seeking God daily in an earnest and sincere heart to have Him show us what it is that we have that we can give to the cause of missions. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world. We've heard that a lot. But it's true. Maybe we can't go, but we can all do something. Each and every one of us here, God has uniquely given you something to contribute to missions, to the cause of Christ, so others may be able to go. So what is it? What is that something that the Lord wants you to give? What is it that the Lord is calling you to contribute? Well, look with me in verse 11 here of 1 Samuel. We see Hannah's sincerity. We see her commitment here. It says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." So we see here that her vow was not to her husband. Her vow was not to her neighbor. Her vow was not to her church. Her vow was to God, directly to God. It was a sincere prayer. That was something special that was between her and God, a request that brought much heaviness. After seeking in prayer, she was in much heaviness and burden that she wanted to desire to give something, but she didn't have. And this is how we need to approach our missions giving as well. Something that's personal between us and the Lord. Something that we have a sincere desire to want to share, to want to give for the cause of Christ. Hannah vowed directly to the Lord and said, I know I don't have a child right now yet to give, but if you do this one thing, if you give me this one request, this one desire, I'll give him back to you. And I'll be sincere in that. Now, just a side note here, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:4-5 that if you vow a vow unto the Lord, you need to keep it. You need to keep it. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. When I was deployed to Iraq a number of years ago, at one of the bases I was at, we'd get the mortar fire every so often and have to kind of run for cover because you didn't know where it was coming in. So one of those nights when I was kind of running for cover when the mortar fire was coming in, I vowed a vow to the Lord. And maybe it was because I was scared, maybe it was because I was in fear, but I said, Lord, if you get me home safe, if you get me out of this place when I retire from the Air Force, I vow to serve you full time, no matter what. And I kept my vow, because God kept his part. He got me home safe. And the day after I retired from the Air Force, I was in full-time ministry, serving the Lord full-time. So we need to keep that vow. If we vow a vow, we need to keep that. And he blesses. He blesses. As you consider what the Lord is taking you through, what he'd have you do this year for faith promise, determine ahead of time to be faithful to your promise. Be faithful to your promise. When I was in the Air Force, we moved around a lot every 2 years, probably 10 times in the last 20 years. And I was sharing with Brother Jerry earlier today that every time the Lord would move me somewhere, there would always seem to be an opening in the finance office. Either the finance, the treasurer would have just moved out, or there was just a need there because the guy didn't really know what he was doing. So the Lord would just always put me there. So I have a lot of experience with that side of the church. And one of the constant themes that I've seen over the years in different churches in this area is that people were not faithful to what they promised. They were not being faithful. So we'd have a missions conference, and folks would promise a certain amount or whatever. And maybe 3 months later, 4 months later, being a military church that we're involved in, they'd move on. And so would their missions commitment. It wouldn't stay in the church because we wouldn't see any more of the commitment come in. So I guess my challenge to the military folks that are here and to all of you, where you make your faith promise commitment, it needs to stay. So one of the things that we did is knowing that, before we left a base or whatever, we would make sure our faith promise commitment was taken care of at that church before we moved on. And that's something that's important because it really messed the budget up when, if we are budgeting, if faith promise comes in for a certain amount, we're budgeting off of that, and it's a faith promise. And if that money doesn't come in, then maybe we can't do what we had thought we were going to do. So just if you commit here, make sure that you're faithful to your promise here with that. So that was all free, but that was one of those things that I learned going through the military and being on the other side of the church and just kind of seeing how those things work. So it's okay to give a little bit more, even if you have more to give. Just whatever the Lord puts on your heart. But back to Hannah here, she was certainly she certainly kept her commitment to the Lord, and in fact, she gave more than what she promised. Let's take a look in 1 Samuel, just down a little bit, chapter 1, verse 24. Through 28 says, "And when she had weaned him," talking about Samuel, "she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him.'" So not only does she give what she promised, but she gives even a little bit more than she promised. Now with the bullocks and the flour and the wine. And, we can't outgive God, folks. There's no way we're going to outgive God. So we need to just be faithful to what we promise. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel 2:21, we see the results of her faithfulness there and how God blessed her faithfulness. The Lord visited Hannah, so she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So God's promise was fulfilled, but he also blessed her now. So we see that not only was a prophet provided for Israel there with Samuel, but now a woman who was once barren, who once was not able to have children, now has five children, and God abundantly blessed there. So what is the Lord speaking to your heart about this morning in the area of giving? When it comes to time to make that faith promise commitment, don't be afraid to step out in faith and then watch what you thought was impossible become possible through your faith. Some churches, I know we alluded to it this morning in Sunday school, some churches have a missions budget, I know, of over $1 million. I know churches today that have a missions budget, not just their operating budget, but a missions budget of over $1 million. And how do you think that gets met? Because the faithfulness of the people, they're faithful with what they promised. And it continues on. And that church is doing well, supporting missions around the world. For over 30 years, our church stepped out in faith and gave of their time, gave of their talents, gave of their resources to get our little print shop there in South Dakota going. People donated the concrete. They donated the resources for electric or the drywall, whatever it was. People gave towards that mission, if you will, because it is a mission that we have out of our local church, printing the Word of God and sending it around the world. So as a result of that faithful giving of all these churches, the fruit now is that we're able to print over 5 million copies of John Romans, sending it around the world. People are getting saved all over the world from our little print shop that we're sending those booklets out of because of the faithfulness of the people way back when to donate their time, their talents, their treasures to get that going. And imagine what that can do when we are yielded to the Lord's plan and purpose in our lives of what he wants you to do right here and through you to go out into the mission field. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We were there this morning. You know, sometimes the Lord does this and gives me the same verse as maybe another preacher or but, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Maybe just a little different perspective here. But this is a great example of giving here in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians and how the Macedonians gave not out of their necessity, but out of their deep poverty. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 9. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, that not as he began, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." And this kind of ties it all together there. Whenever you see a therefore, you want to know what the therefore is there for. You probably heard that before. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And that's a picture of the grace giving there, right there. If you're looking for a standard of giving, it's the Lord Jesus. Where he was rich, he left his heavenly kingdom and came down to poverty for us. He became sin for us so that we might become rich through trusting in his shed blood on the cross for our sins. He willingly left his throne, came to that place of poverty, and it was through his poverty that we become saved and that we trust him. And when we think that we don't have anything to give, God will show us that when we desire to give with the right heart, he'll open up our eyes and he'll show us that when we give with the right motive, that there is some things that we can give, that he'll multiply, even if it's small, that he will multiply what we do for him. Now, Hannah didn't have a child to give at first, but she was sincere in her heart and committed that which she didn't have to the Lord, because she was faithful. She was faithful with what the Lord blessed her with. The Macedonians, they show us that out of their deep poverty, out of their seemingly nothing, they gave joyfully. They gave with a joyful heart, and they gave what they could. Now, they didn't give out of their surplus or their abundance. They didn't have riches, but they gave out of their poverty. You know, we need to be stirred in our soul, stirred in our heart, be sincere about giving to the Lord, and then give back to him. Maybe what it is we don't even have. Back in 2013, I was at a missions conference in Colorado. I know the Francinis, a brother, Pinnix, has been there before. I've seen him at that conference. And it's one of those conferences where you have a lot of preaching in the morning, then you have a lunch break, and then you come back in the evening. Well, during the preaching in the morning, they had an altar call. And that was right around the time I was still active duty, and I knew I was getting out of the military. We already made that decision, but I also knew I was kind of up for promotion. That was right around that time that I knew things were kind of in limbo, but we as a family decided to leave the military. So they had the preaching in the morning. I came up to the altar, and I said, Lord, I'm just giving you this promotion thing. I don't want the promotion. I want to serve you full time. I'm just leaving it on the altar for you. I don't even have the promotion yet. I may not even get promoted, but I'm leaving it up to you. I'm leaving it here, and I'm moving forward. So I did that, and 4 hours later, I get a phone call from my boss. Congratulations, you just got promoted. So what do you do? Well, I had already given it to the Lord, and I knew my position. I knew where the Lord was calling me, and I told my boss, I said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm at a missions conference, and I'm moving forward. I'm going to retire. I'm going to get out and serve my Lord full time. And everyone thought I was crazy and all that, and I got a hard time for a long time after that. But, you know, in the graciousness of God, even though everyone along the way knew I didn't want to take that promotion, that I was going to get out and still retire, my retirement date was set for December of 2014, but my promotion line number came up for July of 2014. So the graciousness of God, he still allowed me to get promoted just for a short time, and I was able to retire still in December. But it's just an example of how we just need to give to God. Even if we don't have, just give it to the Lord. He'll take care of these things. He'll set us up, and he'll get us on that right path. He knows what he wants in our lives, but he wants that heart. He wants to see that willingness, that sincerity in our hearts for him. The Macedonian Christians there, giving wasn't a chore for them. It was cheerful. They were cheerful in giving. And that's the way it needs to be with us. Not to look at missions as a burden, but look at missions as a blessing. A blessing of what we can do for Christ. You know, it's not something that we shouldn't look at as something we have to do. But it is good to kind of be obedient to that as well. But you shouldn't look at it as, oh, here, I got to write this check again, or, oh, I'd rather put this money towards something else. It should be something that we do willingly, something we want to do, not something we have to do. So being faithful to our promise, we must willingly give. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, to every man, or every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Another example, we're on the road a lot, and I just happened to be home one Wednesday night when we were doing our prayer time and Bible study, and we kind of give prayer requests and praises and things. So I just happened to be home, and I got the mail, and I'm looking through the mail, and I open it up, and there's a check in there. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. It was a check for $5,000 for the ministry. So I mentioned that to the church, and everyone's like, oh, praise the Lord, that's great. Put it in our paper fund. But what I did not say is that I also opened another letter, and it was from a man that we frequently get money from, every so often from him, and it was a check for $7. So here I highlight the big number, $5,000, and everyone's like, hoo-hoo. What if I would have just said, hey, we just got a check for $7, right? It's the heart. So if that person that gave out of their abundance that $5,000, but yet the person that gave the $7 gave out of his poverty, who do you think would be more blessed? The $7. Someone who gave with the right heart, with a willing spirit, right? That's what God's looking for. That's what the Lord's looking for. We need to give willingly. I'll turn now quickly back to Mark. I'm going to be in Mark chapter 12. Real quick, Mark 12. Verse 41 through 44, here we see the account of the widow giving her two mites. After all the rich men dumped their large gifts into the offering, probably with much fanfare, here comes this woman and drops in her two little coins. And the Lord's watching all this. He's watching what's going on here. In Mark 12, 43 and 44, says, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So to be faithful to our promise, we need to not only give willingly, but we also need to give faithfully. Give faithfully. No need to turn there, but Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Maybe the Lord has placed a number on your heart to give for your faith promise this year. But maybe you don't know where that extra money is going to come from. That's where the faith part comes in. Maybe there's some adjustments you might need to make to your spending throughout the year. So I want to kind of go through an example here. How many of you guys like coffee? A lot of coffee drinkers in here, right? I love the Kaladi coffee. I don't really seem to get it much anywhere in Colorado and here. But a Kaladi coffee the other day cost $5 for one latte, one coffee there. So think with me as I do some public math here. So say you gave up that one Kaladi coffee a week, $5 a week for 52 weeks. That's, what was that, $260 a year. So maybe some of you drink more than that per week. So you can kind of multiply it that way. But we'll just use one example, one latte, $5 a week, 52 weeks, $260. So if those funds that you saved are given to our ministry, for example, that would allow us to print over 2,000 copies of John and Romans. 10 cents a copy, it's 2,600 copies of John Romans, just from one less latte every week. So you say, well, that's really not that much, but these funds can be combined with other funds if other people did similar things, right? And that's how it multiplies. One roll of paper costs $800 for us to buy one roll of paper. That one roll of paper can print 12,500 copies of John Romans and get it out there to the field. But let's go a little further in this example here. So in housing areas, housing situations in third world countries and such, there's a lot of multi-generational families living together. So one copy of John Romans can reach maybe five people or five family members in that one household. So evangelistically speaking here, it's said that on average, if five people per household are able to read one copy of John Romans, that one less latte a month would be close to 10,000 people having an opportunity to read or receive the gospel around the world. Now, is that something that we can kind of put our hands around there, just from one latte? Think of it in other ways, you know, multiply that out, however many other things you might be able to trim through your budget. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you in some other areas. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we all need to purpose in our hearts to give. We need to have that sincerity as we give. Then as the Lord provides for us, then we need to give it out. As we get, we need to faithfully ask the Lord, where should it go? In 2015, another example, we were at a missions conference in Missouri, and We needed some fuel money, but we were there to kind of help other missionaries out. So after that conference, we were going to go to another place. We needed some fuel money. There was a church member in there, just kind of came up, shook my hand, and said, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, and had a little bit of money in there, so I put it in my pocket, didn't think anything of it. So when I get back to our camper, at the end of the conference, $60. I was like, woohoo, praise the Lord, we got fuel money. So I tell my wife, and she's like, well, you know, there's other people here that have need too, you know. I'm like, oh, faithful wife, okay, I guess I'll do the right thing, and let's give it back. The Lord gave it to us. I know there's some other needs here. The Lord will take care of us. So it was my son, my wife, and I. We each had $20, and we gave it to a missionary that we thought was in need. So, and that was the end of it, I thought. So at the end of the conference, the very last day, another missionary comes up, just kind of puts his hand in my pocket, says, the Lord bless me, I want to bless you. Didn't think anything of it. So at the end of the day, I reach into my pocket, it's a $100 bill. I mean, it was just a blessing how the Lord gave to us, we gave back out, and how the Lord multiplied that. Not only do we have enough money for fuel to get to our next place, but we also had a little bit left over to be a blessing to somebody else. And that's how the Lord does it sometimes. It's just amazing to see how He works in our lives and how when things come in, He wants us to give out. He wants us to give with that sincere heart. He wants us to give with that sincerity of heart. So giving faithfully not only blesses missionaries, but blesses your missions program, blesses your church. But faithful giving also brings personal blessings as well. Vehicles, equipment may last a little bit longer. As I mentioned the other day, we've had really no issues on the road. The Lord's been good to us, watched over us, and blessed us. And we're just being faithful and moving forward with what He's called us to do. So to be faithful to your promise, we not only need to give willingly, not only give faithfully, but also give thankfully. Now turn back to Psalm, if you will. Psalm 107, 21 through 22. Psalm 107, 21, 22 says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. So we need to praise the Lord. Not only when we set the missions budget, when the missions budget is set, we need to praise the Lord, but we also need to praise the Lord when the missions budget is met. So praise and thanksgiving. We need to thank the Lord for all that He's doing. I know Pastor mentioned the other day that I guess a bunch of military folks left or there's a transition here and you're a little bit down in the missions budget there. But the Lord provided in another way through the missions program, through allocated missions money to give. So we praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that He meets those requirements. He meets those needs there. So to be faithful to our promise, we not only need to give willingly, faithfully, thankfully, but finally we need to give expectantly. Give expecting a blessing. Back in 2 Corinthians, if you held your place there, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Don't set your sights too low. Give expecting the Lord to bless. Give expecting the Lord to do things that you may not even understand how it's going to happen. But you just got to be faithful to what He's calling you to do. Here's another example here. We're in a church and I won't say where, but this gentleman had a hairpiece. And the Lord put on his heart a number to give. And he saw no other way to be able to meet that commitment except to get rid of the hairpiece and use the money that he used for that to give to missions. So that's what he did. He got rid of the hairpiece, gave his money to missions, and the Lord not only blessed his life there, I think he wound up getting married after that, and blessed his business and also blessed the missions program. So he gave expecting, Lord, whatever you need to do, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm being faithful. So that was just another example I thought was kind of interesting. But still, I mean, be creative with how what do you have going on in your life and what is the Lord telling you? What is He calling you to do or give up or whatever for missions? Maybe there's some other areas in your life that are excesses, if you will, that maybe you can truly do without. Do you really need that 250-channel satellite TV or however many channels you get? I don't know, but is that something you really, truly need? Maybe that one less Kaladi coffee every week. You know, consider giving those funds over to missions and being a blessing. I mean, some of those funds can go pay for a wall around around a church or build a church, a building, whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily just need to be John Romans. There's so many needs out there that could be met through your giving. 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19 says this, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life." Thousands of souls can be reached through you, through this church. But we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to distribute, faithful to give out. Not just money, but it's also our time, our talents, whatever it is. There's other things there that the Lord has given you that He wants to use and through your life to distribute, to be a blessing to missions. The booklets that we print, we have a lot of volunteers come. They don't give their money, but they give their time. We have over 100 volunteers in our ministry that put together John and Romans, not only just in our church, but we have six other churches across South Dakota, North Dakota, Colorado, Wisconsin. They get the supplies. They put the booklets together. Great time of fellowship. But the booklets that go through their hands, as they're praying for each booklet will get into the hands of a missionary who will get it into the hands of someone who doesn't know Christ. And that soul would come to know Christ as their Savior, all because of the time that they put in, the effort that they put in. They didn't give resources, per se, other than their time. And God blessed them for it. So as we bring this down to a close now this morning, I just want you to consider those thoughts and the examples that were given there and what the Lord would have you do this year in faith promise giving. Be faithful to what you promise. And I trust that being faithful, that you'll be willing to give. That you'll be faithful to give. That you'll be thankful to give. And that you give expecting the Lord to do some great things in and through your life. Pastor?